Welcome to Voicing Startups, where I, Colin Bournes, interview founders and operators changing the world through audio, voice, and conversational technology. This week on the Voicing Startups podcast, I am talking with Sandra, head of project management at Wonder. Wonder is the first all-in-one parenting assistant that uses voice technology and AI to give new parents the right information at the right time and improve the child's language and cognitive development. Through the use of a baby monitor and mobile app, Wonder helps parents thoughtfully navigate the first 1,000 days of life and raise happy, healthy, curious, and all-around good children. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Voicing Startups. Hello, Sandra. Thank you for coming on the Voicing Startups podcast.
Yeah. Hi. Sure. I'm excited.
Can we just start with a quick background of yourself?
Definitely. So I was born in Poland originally, and then I moved to Hong Kong to study there. And I think it was a good time as well, because the kind of startup revolution in Hong Kong has just kind of started. And I was able to be there and kind of build the early community and got involved with some fintech startups and travel tech. But, you know, after a couple of years doing that in kind of product management role, I was looking for something that would have a little bit more social impact. And it landed on education for me, because I think that was an instrumental thing that kind of changed my life. I met Lamond, who's our founder, around that time. And, you know, he introduced me to the kind of neuroscience of baby's brain. And I got completely excited about it and the product that he wanted to build. And so that's how I joined Wonder. That was around 3 years ago. And I was the first employee there, you know, starting off with doing a lot of different things, but right now focusing mainly on product development on the software side and partnerships.
That's great. So what exactly is Wonder and the key value proposition?
So Wonder is the all-in-one smart parenting assistant that helps parents track daily activities with their child, especially between 0 to 2 years old. And it also helps to improve cognitive development of the child over time. And the key value proposition of the product, I think for me, are three. So the first one is that it is kind of all in one platform. So it combines certain features that currently parents find across individual products, and especially things that allow you to track kind of early physical development and kind of like nursery things. So for example, you know, like logging feedings or diapers or sleep. So that is very critical for parents, especially between 0 to 6 months old. And then it also combines the kind of more educational side of things. So tracking milestones, you know, recommending new activities that are developmentally appropriate and really looking at what this child particularly needs. And so currently, you know, parents would probably use an app to do the loggings, and then they would use another app to track the milestones or even do it on paper. Or just go to the doctor. So we're really trying to create this kind of consistent user experience or parent experience with the platform. And I think that feeds into the second value prop, which is really like the voice technology and how we are able to help parents log certain things or ask for certain things on the go. You know, if you were to imagine, let's say you have a baby in one hand and the bottle in the other hand, it's just sometimes hard to reach out for the phone or for the piece of paper to log certain things. And so we are doing an improvement here by allowing you to use your voice. The voice part also allows for interactivity. So let's say we can play some sounds, songs, or kind of make story time reading a bit more interactive, and that is also stimulating for the child's development. So I think this is the second value prop, and then the third value proposition is around personalization. So as I've mentioned, we are not just looking at the child and their age and saying your baby is 2 months old and they should be doing this or that, which could actually be inaccurate and also cause anxiety in parents. What we're trying to do is to actually tell you, you know, this is a set of milestones that typically children around your age should hit. You tell us as a parent, what have you observed? And then we recommend content and activities or books based on what your child can already do and cannot do, so that we can actually target those and help them get there faster.
That's great. And I definitely want to dig deeper on the product itself. But before we do that, I'm curious about some more of just more business related questions on what exactly the business model is with Wonder. And then the target market seems pretty straightforward, but if you could just speak to that as well, that'd be great.
Definitely. So I said, we are definitely targeting parents, but I would say that definitely new parents is our key target market because the need is just the highest there. You know, we've done around a year worth of kind of user testing and needs finding interviews. And I think that the key things that parents expect or want or need help with is, you know, on one hand to exercise the so-called productive parenting, as they would call it, which means, you know, typically I'm a working parent, I have limited time. I want to make sure that whatever I do in the time that I have with my child is actually effective and really helping them grow and helping us bond together. On the other hand, they are also looking for guidance and for validation. So I would say that we have two types of parents that we come across that are interested in our product. Generally, either they have already background in education, so they understand how critical it is to, you know, like to spend time with your child and really be there and talk to them, because words that you speak and, you know, kind of, and we can go more into that, but they are the key predictor of child's IQ. So on one hand, we have parents who understand that and they are looking to kind of validate if they're doing the right thing. On the other hand, we have parents who don't necessarily have this background, but they know that they want to do all that they can to help their child grow. And in that way, they're looking for guidance as to what is the best use of my time. So that is our target market at the moment. And in terms of the business model, you know, one thing is that we definitely want to keep it accessible. So there are different, it's sort of like a freemium model of how we want to offer our services. But there is also this interesting opportunity here with hardware as a service. So we are exploring, you know, a market where you could, let's say, get the device together with, let's say, annual kind of like your child's first year of life, a membership on the app as well, where the cost of the hardware could also be kind of cut, you know, like across the 12 different months. And so in that way, making the price of the device actually more accessible at the start. So these are the two models that we're considering right now, and we are still pre-launch. So this is actually the time right when we are testing that.
That's great. And then how long have you guys actually been around or working on this?
That's a good question, because it's been a while, and I think it's also like it's both good and bad, because on one hand, I mean, obviously maybe there was a way for us to build this out faster, but on the other hand, just because we started almost 3 years ago with like a very, very early idea of a product that was just based on an app actually, and then, you know, going through an accelerator, we went through Hacks as well as Stanford StartX. And that's when we started really getting warmed up to this idea of building a platform with a standalone device rather than only an app, primarily for the reason of convenience and the emerging opportunity in technology with voice, which really wasn't there when we started, and it definitely is there right now. And so I think across those 3 years, we were able to see also how users and parents became much more open to the idea of a smart speaker that is really focused on parenting. So it's been around 3 years. However, the first year was really focused on testing the super scrappy early prototype, as well as conducting some studies with universities.
Very nice. And then I want to dig into the user experience, and you mentioned now this hardware component. Could we just walk through maybe what that experience looks like for the customer that would be using the standalone app, and then also the customer that may be using that hardware?
That's also a very good question that we're still kind of working out right now, because what happened is that we have already launched our app in beta. And so we are now, I think, 4 months into our beta, and we've actually concluded it because I think that we've learned what we wanted to learn, where parents can really use that educational side of our app that I mentioned before. So they can go in, you know, they can pick the milestones that they want to be working on, and then they get recommended content from us and from our education team to hit those milestones. And what we're trying to do there is really utilize, on one hand, a personalization, but on the other hand, also a behavioral science and trying to create a habit loop with the parents. So, you know, kind of like with apps like, I don't know, Headspace, let's say, when you have a bunch of goals that you want to hit, and then you get the content to kind of hit those goals. And it also gives you a schedule to operate on in a way to really be consistent. And I think that is the key thing that we're trying to drive with the app itself, to on one hand let the parent know where their child is at, then recommend the personalized content, and then also build that habit of consistency, because all the experts kind of know, you know, and confirm that it is definitely much more important to at least do, you know, 10 minute activity with your child, but do it every day rather than, let's say, do like an hour long activity, but just once a week. And so that is the value of the app and having things like the notifications and just like the personalization that, that we have. And then with the introduction of the hardware device that we've built, and it's almost there, and now we're trying to integrate into this app, we're really adding that layer of the nursery, sort of, like that we call it, where you can track the feeding, the logging, like of the diapers and sleep and cries. And so it's really adding the kind of data layer to it. And I think that the most unique thing that we're tracking as well is how much you talk to your child and how many conversations back and forth you have with them. As I mentioned, this is actually the key predictor of future IQ. So the hardware really adds that layer of data and quantification onto the whole experience.
Yeah, and it seems like, at least from my perspective and understanding, that this hardware component is also really your guys' or the company's venture into adding voice into the product. And given that this podcast is focused on that very element, can we dig deeper on how exactly that voice tech is playing a role in your product, and maybe why you guys or how you guys saw that opportunity and ultimately decided on it being one of those three core components that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. I think, you know, voice was always important for us because natural language processing technology offered this opportunity for the first time that you could actually quantify how much you talk to your child at home. And this is pretty revolutionary because up until that point, parents didn't really have access to that technology. And, you know, we have things like a Fitbit that can track how much we walk, but we didn't really have anything like that for parents on like a B2C market where you could just like download an app and check how much you talk to your child today. And the other kind of competitors or the other opportunities were in research mainly, because there was a device called Lena that could actually do that. However, it was mainly only accessible to researchers and it was pretty ugly. It wasn't optimized for you know, for a B2C customer experience at all. So I think our founder, being a new parent himself 3 years ago, he realized that there was an opportunity here to use natural language processing to actually let you quantify that. And then as we went along, you know, it turned out that there are more opportunities. So it's not just kind of the inputs, you know, so how much you talk and then the device could tell you how much you talked, or maybe logging, you know, a diaper or feeding. It is also the outputs that could be interesting. So as I've mentioned, playing some sounds or songs, even when you read a book, and make it also kind of in a smart way. And so I think that, you know, how I see voice in our product is both on the side of the input and the tracking, but also the output and the stimulation of the child. And I think the third element is really around the assistance and that kind of a human element, like you could say. So we are building a Wonder Assistant. It's like your Google Assistant, but it's a bit less smart, I would say. And it really is a sharp kind of focus on activities that you can do around a child. And so the purpose of that is to help the parent log those things easily with voice, but also to recommend you activities by voice. So let's say as a parent, you could say, hey, Wonder, give me an activity recommendation, or tell me how much I've talked to my child yesterday, or even give me a tip about my child's development right now at this age. And then the assistant could basically tell you that or play it out. And, you know, we were also thinking about things like providing mental health support over time. So I think there are many opportunities there in which that voice element could be used beyond just like the product that we're building right now.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And thanks for that background. I'm also curious, given that, at least from a venture perspective, when you hear hardware, sometimes that can be a little bit tricky for an investor to hear. And I know that there are some other off-the-shelf sort of assistants that are geared towards children specifically, like with the Amazon Kids version. Could you talk to or speak to a little bit of the importance of having that actual standalone device versus some of the off-the-shelf assistants?
Yes, I think this is the question that we probably get the most because hardware is hard and we actually didn't really want to build it. What happens currently with, you know, if you're a company that wants to use Amazon Alexa or Google Assistant and if you use it on their hardware, we could obviously do that and just build a skill, but we wouldn't actually get insights into what are the things that parents are talking about with the assistant itself. So that would really limit our ability to improve the product over time. But also on the other hand, we would not be able to use our algorithm for natural language processing and for counting words and conversations that we have actually built in-house on that piece. So I think that was the main reason why we decided to do it like around a year ago to actually build our own hardware. The other thing is also just purely on the design and the user experience side. I think that, I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to see our device, but it's really cute and it's just like this little a cloud with the sun and it's lighting up when you talk more, and at night it becomes a moon to build good sleep routine habits. So I think that this really also speaks to the fact that this device is not supposed to be as smart and as techy as a Google or an Alexa is. It is really supposed to be a nursery item that kind of grows with your child and helps you with those activities. So I think these are the two key reasons. It's not been easy to do this. I do, however, think that we are seeing the benefits of taking that approach. And we've just actually conducted some user interviews in San Francisco with selected families. And, you know, the first response is that it's very cute. It's very tasteful. Like they would definitely put it in their baby room. And it also builds some trust, like right from the get-go.
Yeah. And then that makes a lot of sense. But I wanted to take a little bit of a different path and actually look at, I guess you could call it the end customer or the children. And after going on your website and really a lot of different resources that I've seen, really those first few years of a child's life is just super important for many different reasons. Could you give a little bit of a background on some of those reasons and frame up just how crucial this time frame is and why?
Definitely. I think there are two key approaches. So one is in neuroscience. And I think the key evidence that we have over, you know, decades of research is firstly that 85% of a child's brain actually grows between 0 to 3 years old. And so this is the critical time when what you do as a parent really matters for their growth. This is when the foundation of language skills is built. And we also know that language skills actually build all the other skills in the brain as well. And so really focusing on that 0 to 3 years old period is critical, and we would like to encourage that, because whatever you do then is just much more effective than anything else that you do in the child's life later on. The other interesting piece is around how much you talk to your child. So I've already mentioned that this has been found to be the key predictor of their IQ, of their school readiness, not only how much you talk to your child, but also how many back and forth interactions you have with them is really important. And so that last piece around the conversations that you actually have with them and how much they respond and how much interactivity is there between you is a very kind of like latest study from MIT and Harvard from 2018, where they actually found that it's that interactivity between you and your child that actually stimulates brain development. In our technology, in our algorithm, we look at both how much you talk, so the word count, but also how many back and forth conversations you have with them, as well as for how long you're having those interactions. So all of that together is our kind of key leading indicator of child's development. And then on the other hand, we've got early childhood research that has also been validated over many years. And, you know, you might have heard about programs like a Head Start, where researchers or qualified specialists actually go to homes and they visit families and they provide them with some support, with some guidance. They help them evaluate their progress week on week. But this is all very manual and in person. And it works, and it has been proven to especially help low-income families kind of elevate their child success. But it's very hard to scale that because you actually need the manpower. So we are trying to put some of that onto our app and actually help deliver those early interventions based on the data that we collect about this child and the family, but also just keeping in mind the dynamics of those interventions that we know work in real life. So we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here, but rather put it on a platform that is a bit more accessible and scalable to families all across the US. So with that, we're really emphasizing that consistency and trying to build those good habits using the mobile app as a platform that helps to drive that.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Could we talk about any case studies or really customer success stories? And I know it may be early for it, but do you have any sort of compelling stories or things around the early beta product of Wonder?
Yeah, I think that one thing I could start with is the early research study that we did back in 2017, when we first only had an app that I mentioned. So it was just a simple app that, you know, that could quantify how many words you spoke to your child today, and it would show you that. And it could also push you, let's say, an activity per day, or like an idea that you could do with your child to stimulate them. So we did run a small study. And that was with the university in Hong Kong, because actually our startup was founded first in Hong Kong, and then we kind of are moving now to the US. And in that study, we had, you know, two groups of parents. One group would basically get access to the app, and they were able to actually monitor and see how much they talk every day, and get those activity recommendations. And then the other group, they could only use the app to kind of like track how much they talk, but they wouldn't actually know how many words they've spoken, but they would still also get the activity recommendations. And so what we saw after 8 weeks is that parents who could actually see, you know, and track how many words they've spoken to the child spoke around 40% more words on average. And we've also seen a 26% higher improvement in their children's receptive language skills, which is basically language understanding. And so that was pretty exciting, because even though it was a small sample size, and, you know, there's definitely more that we could do to make the study kind of like to increase the efficacy of the study, I think it gave us a strong signal that actually giving you access to the feedback around how much you talk motivates you to talk more. And we did kind of think that that's going to happen, you know, especially looking at how we use the Fitbit and how people exercise more when they see how many steps they take. But I think that was the first thing that gave us a green light. And that's also what helped us get into an accelerator to then start building out the hardware. The beta that we just run with the app, probably like there were many interesting things that we just learned on how we present data, or for example, when we show book recommendations, our assumption was that because our book recommendations are not just based on, you know, let's say you've read this book, so now you should read this book. It is really based more on what your child can do and recommending you books that can actually target specific skills. And so our assumption was that we are just going to recommend a parent, let's say, 3 books per week. And we are not going to do more, because we kind of actually want to give you time to be able to go through them, maybe purchase them, and kind of like have, you know, them a couple of times and work on those skills. But actually we found that parents trust our recommendation more if we show them more books at once, because then they just feel like it's a more robust engine for recommendations. So I think that was just like one of the interesting things that we found on the product development side. So this is what we're trying to improve right now. And then in terms of the kind of success stories, I think there's nothing really that I can put some evidence behind right now, but what we are hearing from feedback from our users is that they just generally have more a structure around their interactions with the baby right now, because our app allows them to, for example, set reminders for specific activities that they want to do so that they can schedule out their week in advance. And that's especially helpful for working parents. And then on the other hand, we are also seeing that they actually realize that there are more milestones that they thought they could be working on with the child even very early on. And so that gives them those little moments of wonder when they, you know, like when they realize that, oh my God, like my child can already do this. Or if I just do this little activity, I can actually trigger this reaction in my child. And so these are really emotional and kind of heartwarming stories that we get from parents. And I think that, you know, hopefully we'll be able to also use that in our marketing going forward.
Yeah, and it seems like with the continued rise of people, and I mean, wearables and hearables are making this easier, but people just sort of tracking all these different things about their day. It seems like a natural extension for those people whenever they become parents to want to extend that into their kids' lives. So that seems very compelling, and it makes a lot of sense also given the success that you've seen from these early iterations. But I'd also be interested, given this product, I'm sure that there's a lot of other people that might see an opportunity to create services for kids at this young of an age, given this sort of rise of voice. So I'd be curious to know how you guys differentiate from any competitors that you may have, and really what makes you unique and defensible to those competitors.
That's a good question as well, because I think what I want to emphasize is we are not really a toy at this point. So we are not trying to interact directly with the child in our first product. We are really an assistant to the parent. And I think I just want to emphasize that first, because when you look at that, there's actually not many tech competitors for us at the moment that would do the same thing. So, you know, you would have an education specialist, let's say, or you would have a researcher or like a parenting class around your neighborhood. So that is what's playing that role of guidance and validation. You know, on the technology side, you would mainly have those apps that allow you to track the feedings and the diapers. And they are not super user-friendly, actually, like what we're finding. And you might also have apps that recommend activities. So I would say that when we think of our direct competitors, you would kind of have to look at these different services that currently exist in separation. But you can also look at the, like, I think there were two products that I could mention, and one was in research. So that's what I mentioned before. There was this platform called, like, there is this platform called Alina, and it's a foundation, it's a nonprofit, and they primarily serve the researchers, where they try to provide you with that technology. You can go into the house, you can kind of put this little device on a child or insert it into a t-shirt. And so then it stays with the child, let's say, for the whole day. And that's kind of the end of the monitoring. So it's not really built for long-term monitoring or like day-to-day monitoring. It's more like we've got a research study, we're going in there, we're capturing the data, and then we're taking it back. We probably have to use a computer that's in the researcher's room to kind of offload all the data and analyze it. So this is not something that parents directly look at. It's something that researchers look at. And then there was also a product called a Starling that I think came into the market around 2016. And that was a pretty good attempt on the B2C market to introduce such technology of counting words. But it was only counting words, and it was a wearable that a child could wear. And they're currently out of business. And probably what happened is a mix of the fact that it was doing just one thing, which is the word count. And actually, this is not probably enough to engage the parent to stick with the platform all throughout, because you also need that content and the recommendations. You know, like once you realize that you don't actually speak enough, then what is the next step? Like, we think that the platform should actually tell you what the next step could be for you. And the other thing was that many parents were against the idea of a wearable actually on their child. So that was probably also a practical reason. So that's why we are trying to build a smart speaker, a passive kind of standalone device. And, you know, we are really looking at the user purchasing the device as the beginning of our journey with them rather than the end.
Thank you for that point. To sort of wrap up this interview, as we get towards some of these final questions, I'd be curious to know what we could expect to see from Wonder going into the rest of 2020 and then the next few years ahead as well.
Yes. So we are preparing to launch in April. So you could go on our website, hellowonder.com, and you can find some information about the product there, as well as sign up for the waitlist. So that is happening. And, you know, after we launch, we are hoping to get the devices into parents' hands around May. And from then on, I imagine that a lot of our work internally will focus on just getting feedback from those early customers, improving the use cases, especially training the assistant. So this is something that we've already been trying to do with our beta testers, where we're just literally trying to get you know, let's say different variations of how parents could ask to log a dirty diaper, which is pretty hilarious actually. And we've got probably 100 different ways in which this can be done. So this is kind of like the day-to-day of working with a smart assistant. You really have to try and think like, how would your users interact with it? And especially given that this is a very new use case and something like this doesn't really exist, we are just really talking to our users and trying to see what is the most intuitive way for them to talk to this assistant. And so I think that after launch, we'll be doing a lot of that work on a bigger scale. And we will also be working hard on our app and on increasing the educational content there. So currently, we mainly have activities that are built by our education team. But we are also just currently adding the first program, which is like a paid program over 12 weeks when parents can learn certain skills. And so this first program that we're launching is around foundational skills of building good habits with your child and that consistency that I was talking about. So you then actually have access to a coach that can talk to you and you get a much more guided experience through the app as well. And we will be most likely looking to launch more programs like this, as well as collaborate with different content providers that are already out there that have their own kind of methods and programs and actually host them on our app. So I think that that work around content platform, growing it, growing our users, and also improving the accuracy of the device itself will be the bulk of activities after launch.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of anticipation, excitement, a lot of different emotions as you guys lead up to launch. But congratulations on at least making it to this point. I'm sure it's going to be super exciting for you guys as April rolls around. But another question that I like to ask pretty much everybody that comes on the show as we wrap up the interview is, what really gets you excited about the audio and voice space over the next few years as well?
Sure. I think that some of the interesting things that have been coming up in the space is that, you know, voice is now an interface, really. And so this is really interesting for me to be able to observe our users interact with this new interface, where actually they are much more comfortable with it than I expected. And so that gives me all of the ideas about how we could use voice in our product going further to also, let's say, support parents in their kind of mental health. Just provide them with some more of the coaching via voice as well, where let's say you can kind of talk with our Wonder Assistant a little bit and maybe help to solve some problems. So I think that just going in the direction of making it more human and maybe having it across different platforms, I think that is something that really interests me as to how, you know, let's say our product Wonder could be present with the parents in more situations around their child's learning. I think on the other hand, we are definitely thinking about next products that we would like to launch, and that would most likely be focused on actually interacting with kids and teaching them some new skills. So, you know, something that we're considering is, let's say, how do we support a toddler in their attempts to learn to read? It could be also some sort of a hardware device or maybe even our Wonder device that could actually talk back to them, help them explain some new words or kind of tell them how to pronounce some words. So this is something that would be super exciting. And, you know, something that we find is that so many parents right now actually have smart speakers at home, and it's not really such a new thing anymore, that kids, when they're growing up around smart speakers, they actually start to expect that they can talk to any device around them. So you know, we had parents who told us that their kid is coming into the car and they are asking Alexa to put down the windows, let's say, because they just expect that a voice solution would be around them. So I think as we go along, and as we do our user interviews, we will start observing how the presence of this speaker actually impacts also the child, and what are the opportunities where we could, in a way, talk to them or help them learn. And I think that maybe the last thing that I'm excited about is how voice technology could spread in different countries. So, you know, I am from Poland, and whenever I visit home, and I was trying to kind of bring a Google Home back and have my parents use it, but unfortunately it was not really possible for them to use it for much, just because the kind of Polish version is not really there. And so I guess I'm excited at how different countries and different startups in different languages could kind of use voice as well to build some of the solutions that we already have here in the US, but in different countries and in different contexts and in different cultures as well.
Yeah, that the point on expectations from children, I mean, that's something I've talked about a lot and I've seen a lot. It's super compelling as mm-hmm. that expectation. I mean, as you continue to grow, I mean, having that access to voice technology be that first experience with really any technology for these kids that are growing up around it is something to definitely pay attention to. And then as you touched on the global aspect of it as well, it's been super interesting to see all the different companies popping up really all over the globe. So it's definitely a matter of time as we see or when we're going to start to see more of these experiences go into different countries. Not really a question of if, more a question of when. So that is also definitely super excited about the future of that. And, you know, I really appreciate you coming on and bringing up a lot of these different points. It's a lot of different things to chop on, process and take away. And you did mention that for people that are interested maybe in actually using the product or being an early user of the product, that there is a wait list on your website. But I was curious if there's anywhere else, if people are interested in following what you are doing or what the company is doing, is there anywhere else where people can follow what you guys are up to?
Yes. So we are on, you know, Instagram, Facebook. You can find us at hello_wonder. And, you know, as I've mentioned, hellowonder.com is probably the best place to learn about the product and sign up, as well as to check out our blog posts, because we do actually have a really great education team and we are putting out content basically every week for new parents and for expecting parents. So I think that kind of following us there and jumping on our mailing list is probably the best way to stay in touch with the product and also have the opportunity to join our user testing.
That's great. Well, Sandra, thank you for taking the time and talking to me about Wonder.
Thank you so much.
This podcast is sponsored by VoicePunch VC. VoicePunch is a venture capital fund that is focused on voice-driven and voice-connected technology. So if you are a company or an entrepreneur that has a product that is in this sort of space, much like a lot of the different companies that I am interviewing, then you should reach out to the team by going to voicepunch.vc.